Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
So as the custom is, you want to take our anchor scriptures? Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The emphasis, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. Second reading, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Our last reading that we are all going to read together, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Are we all ready? Can we go? Let's read. Church, let's go. Amen. Let's take it again. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in heavens. Hallelujah. Today, we want to look at the second subject under the sub-series Prayer Mining, which I have titled Waiting, or in other words, Our Daily Appointment with God. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page? Are we ready? We started Sunday to look at our sub-series concerning prayer, which we are hoping to be the last sub-series to wrap up with the concept on teachers to pray. And I made an emphatic statement that everything that we've learned about prayer from January till now, if this very aspect you don't get it, then everything we have done is of no use to you. In other words, prayer mining is where the weight of every knowledge we have received our prayer rests upon. Are we all there? I need your attention, and I need you to give me the focus so that I don't get distracted. Hallelujah. So prayer mining is to look at the way by which we can put prayer into use to benefit from everything associated with prayer, with regards to what? The blessing and anything that can bless us with prayer. Are we there? And we said that I gave you the word mining. I didn't know that most of us at our school we use the same terminology. You remember the word, the concept mining I mentioned last week. So I found out that most of us in our school we use the same word, mining. Amen. So we want to mine prayer. Means I want to have a full 100% benefit from the concept of prayer. And the first thing I touch is that for you to be very blessed with prayer, you must understand the concept of prayer watch. Knowing the sensitive times to which we can ought offer prayers or to pray, and how we should do that. And we came into the concept of the watches, right? The watches. Is that not it? And we look at two sensitive watch, which is what? The midnight watch and not the morning watch. Are we all there? And I said that the next thing that is very important for us to do is to understand the concept of waiting, which means our daily appointment with God. Our daily appointment with God. One of the ways we can mine prayer fully, one of the ways we can mine prayer to the benefit of us, is in the place of our daily appointment with God. Today we are going to look at the first part of waiting, because I can't teach everything on waiting today. So today I'm just going to introduce you to the first part and believe God to finish in the next week. Hallelujah. Now, the essence of keeping a daily appointment with God is because of relationship. That is all. The essence of keeping daily appointment with God is because of what? Relationship. If there is no relationship, then there will not be need for having a daily appointment with God. There will not be need for us to do what we call waiting. So therefore, why is this matter relationship? Now, this matter relationship is very core to every understanding of Christianity. Why? The very purpose for which the Godhead created man is to establish a relationship with man. That through this relationship, they can rule the earth through man. The reason why the Godhead came together to create man is because of relationship. And that through this relationship, they can be able to what? Rule the earth. Now, what is this concept relationship? Relationship, simply defined by my spiritual father, is as means of being together, doing together. So when we say a relationship can simply define as what? Being together and what? Doing together. Can we repeat it? Being together and doing. So when we say there is a relationship, means that we are being together and we are what? Doing together. So if I have a relationship with you, means that there is something that's making us to being together, seen as one unit. Are we there? We are being seen as what? One unit, and we do something as what? One unit. That is why in marriage we become what? One. It is only in marriage that 1 + 1 is still what? One relationship. Do you get it? In family is a unit of what? One. But in that unit we have what? Father, son, mother, daughter in it. Is that not it? So when we talk of relationship, is what? Being together. When we say TMI Accra, is one unit, and it is all of us. So we have a relationship because we are being together and we are what? Doing together. So God decided to create an entity that will be on earth, and that entity called man, he can be able to what? Link up with that person to be together and also what? Doing together with that person. So God didn't create man for man to be autonomous on its own to do what it feels like. God created man that through man he can be able to have a touch of his what? Extension, which is what? The earth. Are we there? And this is where relationship started. The concept of relationship what? Started. So what God had in mind in creating man is what? Relationship. Are we there? We are coming to waiting. Okay, so this was what gave birth to the individual desires of the Godhead, such that the Father desired a son. So when they were creating man, the desires of the Father was that he would find the fulfillment of what? Sonship. So that's why we are all sons of God. From scriptures you find out that Adam was called the son of God in the book of Luke. So any man, so that Jesus was called the son of God, we are also called sons of God. So the Father's desire was that in this very relationship I will have a father-son relationship with them. And then the son also had a desire, which was that in this relationship, I will have what? The bride and what? The bridegroom. So this question that we are going to create, who will become my bride? So that was the relationship was looking for. And with the Holy Spirit, he was looking for what? A temple. A place that he cannot dwell in. A place he can feel at comfort. Are we there? So this was the desire of the three as far as they were creating man. And this was what sums up the relationship. So our relationship with God is what? Son and Father. Our relationship with the Son is what? A bride and a bridegroom. Our relationship with the Holy Spirit is what? A temple and not a spirit in the temple. Are we there? Are you following me? And I said that the reason for daily appointment, the reason why we should observe waiting, is because of what? Relationship. Therefore, man is of no use to God if God cannot establish relationship with him. The very moment God cannot establish relationship with you, in other words, there is no way God can find an expression of sonship in you. There is no way God, the Godhead, can find an expression of sonship, or you being a bride, or you being a temple, then you have no use to them. So our essence of living is that God finds an expression in us as sons, as bride, and as a temple. Are we there? Are we there? So the very moment God finds out that he cannot establish relationship with you, you have no use. You have no use. So hence, man is of no use to God if God cannot establish relationship with man through fellowship. So relationship is established through what? Fellowship. Now, what is fellowship? Fellowship is what serves every form of relationship. Fellowship is what serves every form of what? Relationship. So if God wants to establish relationship with you, what initiates the relationship and what keeps the relationship is what? Fellowship. That is why right in the Garden of Eden, God made his intention clear that without fellowship, there cannot be what? Relationship. Genesis chapter 3 verse 8. Let's watch something. Genesis chapter 3 verse 8. Are we on the same page? So I've introduced the concept of what? Relationship. That it is because of relationship you have daily appointment with God. And the reason for relationship is God's purpose for creating man is to build relationship with him. And that through that relationship, he can be able to what? Have influence over this earth. Rule this earth. And I define relationship to you as what? Being together, doing together. Is that not it? And I said that without relationship, God have no use of you. That is why right in the Garden of Eden, God introduced relationship. And relationship is introduced or service toward fellowship. I'll define fellowship to you, but let's look at something over here. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. So we remember that this scripture was further explained in the book of Job chapter 7 verse 17. I hope you remember last week. I further explained this. Job chapter 7 verse 17 to 18. Now, Job was the first book. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And Job is the closest book to the story of creation. Are you following me? So Job explained this very scenario in Genesis chapter 3 verse 8. So what did he say? So what is man that thou should magnify him and that should what? Set thy height upon him. Verse 18. And that thou should visit him every what? Morning and try him every what? Moment. So Job established that cool of the day, that the incident was captured in the book of Genesis, was a reflection of an activity God does all the time. That God comes to what? Seek fellowship with what? Man. Are we there? Are you with me? I hope you are not lost. Okay. So what is then fellowship? Fellowship is when God invites man to a deep, intimate connection and man responds by drawing near to him. So anytime we say we have fellowship with God, what it means is that God has given us an invite to a deep what? Intimate connection. And we respond by drawing near to him. If I want to give you a typical example where you can easily relate, it's like me meeting Sarah and telling Sarah that I like her, I love her, and I want to have something to do with her. Do you see the initiation? Fellowship is when I make that invite and then she responded and decided that, okay, draw me nearer, Lord, draw me nearer, nearer to thee. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So, fellowship. When you say you're having a fellowship with somebody, it means that there's an invitation and there is what? A response. So, God invites us to an intimate relationship, an intimate connection. When we respond by drawing nearer to him, then fellowship is what? Established. Are we there? Are we there? Are we there? And the moment fellowship is established, relationship has what? Has been initiated. So our response to the invite is what makes us. Therefore, fellowship with God is marked by a desire to know God more deeply. You know, what you propose to some of the sisters, eh? So I'll go and think about it. Hallelujah. Amen. So most times, when a proposal is made, an invitation is made, they decide to take time to study you, to know you very well. Like, so that you see that the desire will start coming was to draw closer to you when they respond to that invitation. So at first, you are not like that. That's what they will say. You just do hello, hi. But very soon, you see that they will start to text you. They will start to give you attention, try to get closer. Are we in church? Don't act like you are innocent. You know what I'm talking about in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, when we get the desire to know God more deeply, that is where we have started the journey of what? Fellowship with Him. So, when the invite is made and there's no response, there's no fellowship. And as long as there's no fellowship, there is no what? Relationship. That's why in the book of Genesis chapter 3, you see that the very day God came and an invite was made, they ran away. And that was how the relationship with God and them what? Ended in the garden. And they left the garden. You understand? All right, okay. Now, when man fell, God has always wanted to have fellowship with man, the relationship with man. But man terminated that relationship. When man fell, God never gave up in the pursuit of what? Having relationship with man. God always make the invite to man to get hold of man. But you find out that in scripture, only few in the Old Testament, only few people were able to build an intimate relationship with God, an intimate connection with God. Only few people. And you find out that even the people of Israel that God called together as His people, you know, Israel is His firstborn, right? That He decided to establish relationship with them. You will find out that the only person who could have that close touch to the very presence of God was the high priest. It was only the high priest who could approach the throne room of God. The throne of grace is only the high priest. So in as much as God was trying to draw them closer, or God was trying to build a connection with them, it was only the high priest that was able to have the permission to get so close to the throne. Follow me. We are still talking about daily appointment. Are we there? But this is not so in our dispensation. In other words, in that dispensation, only few people were granted the permission, the invite into what? Fellowship. But this is not so in our dispensation. As new creatures, God has given each of us the equal access to come to Him at any time. And that's what we read in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. He said, therefore, come boldly. Do what? Come. So there's an invitation to relate to what? To a relationship. An invitation to what? A relationship. A fellowship. Which is an equal opportunity to build relationship with Him. However, those who take advantage to service this relationship with God, true fellowship becomes God's favorite. So God has given all of us the opportunity to come to His throne. But those who become God's favorite, people who will become a people of impact that God will use them, are those who take advantage of it and do so by servicing it with what? Fellowship. So when we come boldly, the invite is made, we decide to pursue to know Him more deeply. So in our pursuit to know Him deeply, we end up becoming what? His favorite. So if you want to be God's favorite, if you want to be one that God can say, this is a man after my own heart, then you must respond to the invite of what? Fellowship. And decide to what? Pursue. Because there's no restriction for anybody sitting over here. We all have equal access. It is on you. And you find out that the way by which we respond to this fellowship is what? Prayer. Follow me. Hallelujah. Therefore, it is up to us to decide how close we want to be with God. Now, when we say being close to God, doesn't mean that God is far from us. No, God is in us. The Bible said that for Christ in us, the hope of what? Glory. But the concept being close to God means that your consciousness and awareness of God. The extent to which you want to be conscious and aware of God is dependent on you. And the more you become conscious, the more favorite, or the more you become God's what? Favorite. Can we put this in a simple understanding? The more you are responsive to me, the easier it becomes for me to see you as what? A friend. Is that not so? So if I text you and respond to my message, I call, you pick, you call me back, you check up on me. Every day I hear from you. We start to do something together. And somebody who called me, who do you think I'll see as my favorite? I remember there was this illustration that we, one of our Bible studies we made at church. And this question came up, if you remember, that if you're a lady and two gentlemen after you, one of the gentlemen does not give you money. He's not rich. But he gives you all the attention you want. He is there for you. He'll call you, check up on you, he'll come and visit you. Like, he really makes you feel like a queen. He pampers you. Are you there? Any given time, 12 a.m., 2 a.m., 1 a.m., if you call, he'll pick your call. He's always there. Then there's another gentleman who is all, who has also proposed to you. You are yet to decide. But he is, once a while you hear from him, but he'll send you money, like once a while. Which of them will you? I know my Gen Z generation, what do you choose? This is my Gen Z generation. So this rich guy, are you listening to me? Who sends you money, but hardly do you hear from him? He doesn't have time to chat. He doesn't have time to speak to you on phone. He doesn't have time for all those things. Every day he's busy. He's here. Oh, I'm busy. You call, he's not there. But this other gentleman, he's always there for you. Which of them is your favorite? Hallelujah. This is how our Gen Z generation has become. But the truth of the matter is that they'll end up cheating on the latter. Because they are social beings. See, so when people give you attention, you become their favorite. Are you there? So when you give attention to God, you become God's favorite. That is fellowship. So we all have equal access to become God's favorite. Because we have all been given the opportunity to come what? Boldly. But those who take advantage and respond to this call, and then go to God on daily basis, or make this relationship work, becomes God's favorite. Hallelujah. And I don't want to talk about God. You'll get there. I'm just introducing you to it. Are we there? Therefore, it is up to us to decide how close we want to be with God. Therefore, God will always initiate the fellowship. But it is at our own responsibility to play our part by responding to that relationship on daily basis. Leviticus chapter 6 verse 12. Leviticus chapter 6 verse 12. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every what? Morning. Are you following? And lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. Now watch this. When the tabernacle was done and it was commissioned, God sent fire from heaven. And the fire lighted up on the altar. Now God said that this fire that I have sent, it is no more my responsibility to keep it burning. However, the priest must make sure that every morning they bring in wood to keep the fire out burning. And anything that they'll do in the tabernacle must, which requires fire, must come from this very fire. Are you with me? In other words, when God initiates something, the responsibility is you to keep it what? Working. So if God established relationship, now we know that we have relationship with God. Is that not it? We are sons. Are we not sons? Are we not the bride of Christ? Are we not the temple of the Holy Spirit? The only way we can sustain this relationship is that we attend to it daily. We attend to it daily. So I said, there will not be need for daily appointment if there is no relationship. And the moment you overlook your responsibility of daily appointment with God, you are trying to say that you do not value the relationship. And of course, you are out giving up the relationship. And I have said to you that you are of no use to God if he cannot establish relationship to you. You are as dead. You are useless. You are a garbage to God if he cannot establish relationship with you. Therefore, it's my prayer that we will understand that our daily appointment with God is a necessity. The fire has already been set. It is burning on the altar. But it is the requirement of the priest to make sure that on daily basis, the fire is kept but burning. Hallelujah. 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 Therefore, this daily activity that we are supposed to do to sustain the relationship. Hallelujah. This daily activity we are supposed to do to sustain the relationship or to sustain our flow with God is what we called waiting. Are you with me? Why waiting? Quickly. Do you know that the only mechanism designed for fellowship is communication? Do you agree with me? No fellowship can ever stand without communication. Do you all agree on that? If we don't communicate, we cannot have a fellowship. Remember what I said, definition of fellowship. When there's an invite to what? An intimate what? Connection. And then you respond by drawing closer. The respond is done by communication. And when we talk about communication, it's not only by words. Those of you, those who did communication, do we only communicate with words? We don't communicate with only words. So, communication is any form or any way you are able to give back an information, pass an information, and the party is able to understand that information and put the information to use is communication. So if I blink my eye here and somebody understands why I blinked my eye, there's communication. So fellowship is only possible when there is what? Communication. And this is where the concept of prayer comes in the matter of relationship. Because by our general definition that we all know about prayer, what is prayer? Prayer is a what? Communication with God. So it means that the only way we can establish fellowship with God, finish or fuel that relationship, which is fellowship, begins with what? Communication. So we must find ways and means to what? Communicate with God. And as we communicate with God, we are what? Fellowshipping with him. And as we are fellowshipping with him, then our relationship with him is what? Strengthened. And what is that communication? It is called what? Prayer. It is called what? Prayer. And this kind or this form of prayer, when it is put into an active practice, is what we call our daily appointment with what? God. In other words, waiting. Have I defined a waiting to you now? Have I defined it to you right now? Can we move on? So, relationship calls for what? Fellowship. And fellowship calls for what? Communication. And this communication is what we do, and we call it what? Waiting. Are we on the same page? So, waiting, which is a prayer, is intended. Are you with me? Waiting, which is a form of prayer, is intended to establish relationship with God. Now let's look at some few things. Some few things about this concept of waiting is that, number one, those who practice waiting and became God's favorite. Who were some of the favorites of God in the Bible? I know of Abraham. Yes, who do you know? I know of Abraham. I know of David. I know of Moses. These were God's favorite people. God was spending more time with them. One of the characters you see about them, Job is one of them, is that they practice this waiting early in the day. That is why I spoke about morning watch. And I said that morning watch is connected to the daily appointment. In the book of Psalm 63, verse 1, let's read. All the people who were God's favorite, and we know that becoming God's favorite is having a fellowship with Him. A fellowship with Him. And that fellowship is where your relationship is established with Him. That's why He becomes His favorite. Are we there? All these people who established relationship with God and became God's favorite, God called Abraham His what? His friend. He said, can I do this without telling my friend? God was took Abraham's life so personal that when somebody decided to take his life, he said, you are a dead man. He said, you are dead. You are not alive. Oh. So on that very day, when we were checking the list, they took him from the people who are living and added him to the dead list. And God came to you now. You have killed yourself. That's how God took it personal. He said, David is a man after my own heart. David is a man after my own heart. Now, if you look at all these people, and if you look at someone like Moses, when somebody just, you see today, if it was the days of Moses, like social media, most of you would die. Ask me why. You see how they slander people and they speak ill of people. Yes. It was the same thing that the sister Miriam and their brother Aaron were trying to do. They decided to, and God said, the two of you, come here. You don't fear. If there is any man among you here, I speak to you in dreams and visions. But Moses, my servant, I talk to him face to face. And that is not enough for you to be scared. You decided to come and speak ill of him. You, Miriam, leprosy. What was the crime she did? She said that the brother has married a foreign woman. And God said he should marry a foreign woman. God said that thing you have said is enough for me to deal with you. That's why I said that if Moses was in our time, like most people would die. Because the things you have been saying about people, if those people are God's favorite, you are finished. But thank God for grace. Oh. We are in the dispensation of grace. So God is forgiving all of us. Hallelujah. Because sometimes the way they can cook their story and put it on you. Hey. Hallelujah. All these people, Moses, who are God's favorite, God has not joked with them. One of the things you see about them, that they were early risers and they fellowship with God early enough, early in the days. Before the day setting, they do that. And you see it as a typical confession of Moses. David, what did he say? Say, oh God, thou art my God. Early will I what? Seek thee. Early. I wrote a song out of this. Bring back the glory, Lord Jesus. This was the scripture. Early. So you can never and ever become God's favorite if you don't understand how to do it. One of the things that they do was that they were early risers. Early, they seek God. So you can pray anytime. But if that prayer you intend to wait is intended for fellowship, then the best time to do it is what? In the morning watch. I said you can pray anytime. But when that prayer you're about to pray is you intend to use that prayer for fellowship, communication, fellowship, then that fellowship, the right time to do it is what? Morning watch. So one character of waiting is that it is something that is done early in the morning. In the book of Job, let's look at Job's story. Job chapter 8 verse 4. Let's listen to what Job said. Job chapter 8 verse 4. If thy children have sinned against him, and he has cast them away from thy transgression. Continue. If thou wouldst seek unto God bedtimes and make thy supplication toward the Almighty. So that bedtimes. Go back. That is the place. That BE times now. You see this over there? Okay. Do you have any other version? Can you get me another version there? It was talking about dawn, early morning. That if you go and then you go and seek him at that time, you would have sought things out. This was the friends of Job who were trying to tell him why God has been against him. And they were trying to draw their own analogy and say that if you had seek God at morning, he would have solved this problem for you. Because your children may have caused the problem. Are you with me? If you look at the life of Jesus, all these people, you see that early, because of time factor, so I don't want us to read a lot of scriptures. But I'm telling you, if you study scripture very well, you find that God's favorite people were people who were early risers. Number two, another thing you see about people who practice waiting in the Bible was that they were consistent and they were not separated in doing it. Fellowship with God should be an act of consistency. You find out in the book of Job that we read 7 verse 17 to 18 that morning, every morning he comes to what? Look for man. Consistency. God is interested in a consistent person of 5 minutes than the one who prays 10 hours every 1 week. Take my word from me. The one who prays 5 minutes every day will be God's favorite than the one who prays 10 hours every week. Take this from me. It is not in the length of the prayer. It is in the consistency. You know, consistency breaks every resistance. If you want a wall to fall, just fetch water every morning. Pour it at one side of it every morning. Keep doing it. Be constant. Just doing it. One day, you push that wall to go down. Consistency. That is why guys, when they want you, they know that consistency will always break down every resistance. So do not stop. If it did take them 10 years to get you, they'll do it. Kabbalah, is that not it? So when we come, you think that the first rejection, we know, okay, this job, it comes with consistency. So every day, and I know people have chased people for 3 years. I did 1 year. I didn't give up. I did 1 year, and I at the end of the 1 year, I won. And now, yeah. So be encouraged, my brothers, because consistency will always break. Hallelujah. So one of the character of those who had a favorite personality before God through fellowship waiting is that they were consistent people. Be consistent in it. The Bible didn't say if you pray, it said when you pray. When ye what? Pray. And another key word is that they were separated. Separation. And this is very important. From the very words of our spiritual father, Apostle Joseph Minta, he will never recommend family morning devotion every day. Family morning devotion should be once a week, at most twice. I agree with him perfectly. Each of us must learn to know God and hear God for ourselves. That is the separation. Do you really get it? So if you really want to worship with God, truly fellowship with God, it is not in alpha hour. It is not at midnight incense. It is not at Perez night. No. That one is not for, it can't build a relationship with God. If you do that and you think you're not building a relationship with God, you are doing transaction with God. That is when we do transaction. There's a difference between relationship and transaction. Are you with me? You can transact with God and you have no relationship with Him. When you go to the market, do you know the person you bought from? Do you even know the name of the watch seller? You don't care. You are here to do business and walk away. That's how some of you have become. You don't know God. You only transact business with Him. Sometimes you use middlemen called pastors. Oh, show me. Pastors are middlemen. So don't think that because you pray at midnight incense, you join Alpha R, you join NSPPD, right? Am I right? NSPPD. What God cannot do, that's not. That makes you to know God. You're a liar. It never comes from that point. It is your individual time you have alone with Him. Early rising. So, it's good to join corporate prayers because that is where we do transactions. We can do transactions over there. We can enter into transactions with God in those places. But that is not where relationship is what is built. And remember, if you don't have relationship with God, we are useless to Him. Some of us, we have transacted with business with God for so long. It is time to build a relationship. Obey. All you know when it comes to you and God is binding witches, breakthrough prayers, marriage, exam. So when are you going to have fellowship with him? So some of you, you are businessmen and women with God. When we are done with business, God, until next business, we shall meet. It's serious, so. Until what? Next business. So the first business you did was for your SHSA. That was the last time you were serious with your prayer life. Now you're about to write your final exam in the university. Okay, Lord, that's another business to transact. So what is the terms? So some of the middlemen will say, oh, when you bring this, are you with me? So you come to the middlemen. Some of us will take you very well, especially the corrupt ones. They'll tell that, oh, so for us to reach out to Oga, we will need this and that to be able to convince Oga so that Oga can do this for you. Because you don't have relationship with Oga, so you have to rely on the middlemen. And those of you who want to go yourself to, you have to look for a platform where you can reach Oga. That's why, are you following me? There are some people, you know where to go and find them. You don't intend to go for that program, but because I remember when we were in school, a lady friend spoke to me. She was into business. And she had a lot of connections and asked her, how do you go about this? I said, Sofo, all the parties and things I go for, I don't go because I like it too. That is why I meet them. I said, so when I'm doing the program, buy the ticket, go some. They are there. When you go there, I said, oh, that's how some of you are. So you wait for programs, you know. Nathan Ebase, this one here, God will appear. I have to go out, transact business here. Abosojo Suleiman. Oh, I can transact business over here. This is a good platform. So you buy your ticket into it. No wonder that they can arrange counseling and you'll be paying $2,000 and you don't even feel it. Because you are a businessman and woman with God. But those who have fellowship with him, they don't need that. It is easy to transact business with God when you have a relationship with him. True or false? So, one of the ways to mine prayer is to mine it to build fellowship, communication. Stop being businessman and businesswoman with God. Let's move on. Seems like some people don't like what I'm saying. Hallelujah. So, consistency and separation is one of the characters of waiting. Number three. Another character of waiting is that the people who practice it, most of them usually have a place, a physical place that they meet God. If you can, have a physical place. And most of you have watched War Room. One of the recommendations the woman made to the young lady was that, find a place. When we're in SS, and the university, you have the field that we used to go to do things. My room was also a place I do things. If you ask my wife, she'll tell you. One day she came into my room. We were sitting down. She just came to my room. I was there. She decided to sit on my bed. And within 2 minutes, she was just knocked out by the Holy Spirit. She prayed and prayed and prayed. Me, myself, I even got scared. You can ask her. There was another lady. She also came to my room like that. That she felt like praying and that she wants to come to my place. I said, okay, no, don't worry. She entered my room. The girl prayed for over 7 hours. I left. I went for lectures. Came back. And I can still hear. I couldn't even enter because I felt like I'm going to the girl was just blowing. Do you know why? Because that is the place I meet God every morning. Do you know what happens? It becomes a portal, a landmark. There are certain places, if you enter there, the dreams you get, you know that this place, the person has been praying over here. The atmosphere is so loose. If you like, you go and try that in just a study room. Then you know that you are anointed. You are not anointed though. The place is charged. So, one of the things you notice about them is that they have a place of meeting with God, physical place. And they do that. And some of them, they use it to raise what we call altar. So they meet God at their altar. When God bless you and you build a house, build a prayer room. Wake up, go to that prayer room and pray. Don't pray on your bed. That prayer will be near on your bed. You and I know very well how that prayer ends. Especially when you are tired. You know how very well that prayer ends. But it is up to you. God is watching us. So hallelujah.
So one character of the people who had favorite reputation before God is that they had a place they meet God. Physical. If you can, do it. If you can, you're out. Do it. My favorite place is my sitting room. I just lie there and I do all I have to do. But when God bless me, yes, I have my own prayer chamber. Yes. When you enter there, nobody will tell you that. Why is it that the occult, when they want to have any, they have a place that they meet there? Yes. When you keep using it, what happens is that when you keep doing meeting God at a place, a physical place, you break, you begin to lose that atmosphere. It is just a matter of time. That place will become a portal. In other words, when you go there, it is so easy to what? Ascend. It's so easy. Hallelujah. So, waiting is what I've explained to you. And one of the things, if you really want to practice it, some of the character that you need to have developed is number one, consistency and not separation. Early riser and have a physical place. You can be able to what? Meet God. Now, let's move on. Now, how do we build contact with God? There cannot be fellowship without contact. So let's start. Now, God is in his realm. Spirit realm. We are in our realm. The physical realm. Are you with me? Now, one of the things we have to understand is that the protocols, the rules, and how things are done in God's realm is different from our realm. Do you agree with me? Do you agree with me? All right. So, if we want to have communication with God, we want to reach out to God, then there are protocols, there are rules, there are systems of operation. Are you with me? That we must establish such that it can create that conducive atmosphere for us to be able to have a fruitful communication. Are we all there? Let me put it in this way. If you are in Ghana here and your beloved is in America, do you know that both of you are living in two different conditions? Because whilst you are sleeping, it is evening over there. The minimum time difference between Ghana and America is 5 hours minimum, and in some states it's 7 hours. I think we and is it Japan, we have about 8 or 9 hours. So if you even want to establish communication, the time difference will be very difficult for you, because whilst one is asleep, one is what? Awake. So we must create a system by which both parties can be able to what? Work together. Therefore, God, thus for God to establish contact with man and for man to assess him, man must create an enabling atmosphere which is not different from the realm God is, so that God can live in it and still feels as if he's in his realm and fellowship with man. Whenever God gives us an invitation and we want to respond to that invitation, there is a system that has to be created that can help us to what? Connect to that invitation. What I'm about to talk about now is the procedures we have to observe in order to enter into the throne room of God. Are we there? Fellowship with God is an invite he has given us. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, we saw that God invited us that we should come boldly into the throne room of grace. Is that not it? But the question is, how do we access this throne room of grace? That is what I want us to look at. So you can't tell yourself that you are practicing waiting or you want to fellowship with God and you don't know how to even access the throne, because it is at the throne that he has called us to come and what? Fellowship with him. Are we all there? Are you with me? Do you follow? Good. So we have to understand how to access the throne room of God. Now, to understand this, God gave us a shadow in the Old Testament that gives us an idea of how the throne room of God is what? Accessible. I want to quickly go through it and then connect it to our reality. Are we there? Now, if you look in the Old Testament, When God redeemed the people of Israel and he established himself among them, he did something to give them access to his throne room. And that very thing is what we call the tabernacle of Moses. Now, the tabernacle of Moses is a revelation of the means by which we can access the throne room of God. How? The throne of grace, which was the mercy seat, was on the top of the ark. Do you get it? But that mercy seat was in the innermost part of the tabernacle, called the Holy of Holies. Before the priest can get to the Holy of Holies, there are certain things he has to do to be able to access the Holy of Holies. This is how we are able to come to the throne room of God and access God and fellowship with him. So when we say that we have been able to fellowship with God, when we say that, oh, today we did waitings, when we say that, oh, we have been able to do some, communicate with God, it is when we are able to enter the throne room, the throne of grace. We are able to touch that place. That is when communication is not complete. So everything that is done from the entrance of the tabernacle all the way to access the heart, the Holy of Holies, is not communication yet. I wanted to use something to set an example, but it's okay. I don't want trouble. But can I? Okay. Everything that is done all the way to get into the throne room, the Holy of Holies, okay, it's not communication. It is not the prayer yet. It is not complete. In fact, the complete act of what? Prayer is worship. That's why Jesus said that people shall not go onto the mountain anymore to pray or do this, but true worshipers shall worship the Lord in truth and in what? In spirit. You know, the spirit of God was captured in the Holy of Holies. That is where God was seated. So if you are at the outer court, you have not encountered him yet, but you are on the way to encounter him. If you enter the holy place, you have still not encountered him yet. That you have not seen the glory. In the holy place, you have come into contact with the anointing, but you are yet to see the glory. The glory is in the Holy of Holies, where the ark of God is and where the mercy seat is. And that is the throne of grace. The Bible never asks us to come into any other place but the very throne of grace. Therefore, come boldly before the throne of grace. That is where we are able to obtain mercy. That is the place we find grace. So whatever you have done, if you have not touched where God is seated, it's a wasted time. Are you with me? So, how do the journey start? You cannot just get up and enter the Holy of Holies. It's a process. So, most of us, when we say we are having a quiet time or we are praying, we just do one part. We have not gotten there and say we are done and we come back. Do you know why? I always tell people that if you have a true prayer life, confusion, depression, and those things cannot be part of your life. It cannot be part, because when you hit that place, no, you cannot hit, you cannot touch that place and come out with it. It cannot happen. Many Christians, as I said, it's prayer mining. Many Christians waste their precious time in the name of having fellowship with God, but they have never touched God. Some of them even didn't scratch the outer gate. Not to talk of holy place. So there are three divisions of the tabernacle. The first one is the outer court. The outer court is made up of three space or three layers. The first is the gate. I'll come and explain all in this is all form for prayer. I'm going to explain it, how we experience this in prayer. The second one is the bronze altar, place where animals are being sacrificed. And the third one is the lava, the basin full of water. When you enter the tabernacle, The first thing you have to meet, you meet, is the gate. When you open the gate, at your right hand side is the what? The bronze altar. At your left is the what? Lava. So when sacrifices are made, the blood that we are taking into the mercy seat, it is done at the outer court. Are you with me? When we are done, then the priest will wash himself with the water in the lava. Now, there is a door between the holy place and the outer court. The door has 5 pillars, which also represent what? Grace. Which also stands for what? The church. Are you with me? So when we go through that door, which is Jesus Christ, the church. So after we have gone through the outer court, I'm talking about fellowship. We go through the outer, now we come to the holy place. So God has to build something of that sort in how to assess his throne. He told the people, if you want to assess me, this is how you go about it. Now, when you come to the holy place, okay? The holy place, the first thing you're going to see is the 7 candlestick without on a stand. There's a name we call it. What is the name, Kra? The menorah. I'll explain them to you. Number 2, the golden table without the shewbread. It contains 12 loaves of bread. 6 at your right, 6 at your left, at the holy place. And the 3rd thing over there is the altar of incense. It is meant for what? Burning what? Incense. So when you move from the outer court and you enter the holy place, these are the 3 things: the shewbread, the incense, and the what? The menorah. Then you finally, there is a curtain that separates the holy place from the holy of what? Holies. Now, when you are done with whatever you are doing in the holy place, you can now move from there to the holy of holies. Now you are adult. The very throne of God. Come boldly before the throne room. So when the Bible says you come boldly before the throne room, it is not that you just get up and you go. You have to know how to access the throne room. We go into the throne room from the outer court toward the holy of place, then the what? Holy of Holies. Now, when you enter the Holy of Holies, there's only one furniture over there. The Ark. The Ark of God. It's made up of a wooden box, but the layer is covered with gold. At the right hand and at the left hand are cherubims. And then there is a mercy seat, a bowl, a mercy seat where the blood that has been taken from the outer court is being poured over there. That is where the sins of the people are covered for once a year. And it was at that place that the priest is able to what? Encounter God. In that box are 3 things: the rod of Aaron, the manna, the rod of Aaron, the manna, and the tablet. The 10 commandments is in that box. I am going to explain all this to you when we see how we use this as a means of assessing the throne of God. And when we talk of an effective prayer. So, our journey in waiting is not like you just get up. No. That's what I said. If you truly touch God in prayer, fellowship, you can never come back confused. You can never come back threatened. You can never come back and you are scared. No. Because when you complete this cycle, something will rub on you. Are we there? Okay. So, what is the reality in our newborn creature? Now, all I want to tell you is this. When you become born again, automatically by status, you are the Holy of Holies. We are seated with Christ Jesus at the right hand side of what? Where is God? He's on his throne. So, automatically, we are what? We are seated, we are at what? The Holy of Holies. Automatically. However, in reality, we are in flesh. Do you get it? We are not there automatically. What I mean automatically is that you did not need to do any rituals to come from the outer gate and enter the holy place before the holy... No, don't need to do any ritual. You are already there. But the question is, how do you open up and live there or enter there? How do you open up? Because I said status means in the spirit, you are there. But are you spirit? You are spiritual, you are not spirit. You are a spiritual being. So means that there's a component of you that you have to carry along into that place. So what I mean is that, how do I say that? How do you be conscious of your spirit? Because it is your spirit that is where? There. Your soul and your body is not. It's not there. So how do you turn on your attention, or how do you turn on your spirit to be in the throne room and make contact with God? That is the tabernacle we are talking about here. This is why you realize that the human being, you over here, you are the tabernacle. So now let's go back to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1. He said, if our earthly tabernacle, oh Jesus. Do you really get it? So you here, the actual tabernacle that God desired, that he will use it as a point of contact for fellowship, was human being. But when man fell, he has to use a physical one to represent it. So the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies represent the full formation of man, where the outer court is the body. The Bible says, is your body not the temple of the Lord? And the holy place is your soul, and the holy of holies is your spirit. God help us. For we know that if our earthly house, the new King James Version tell that our heart, earthly what? Tabernacle. So the actual tabernacle that God created on earth as a point of contact for fellowship between him and man is you, the human being. Your body is the outer court. Your soul is the holy place. Your spirit is the holy of holies. Therefore, the spirit of man is God's very place where his throne is established. That's why the Bible said that the spirit of a man is like a candle in the Lord, where he uses it to set the innermost part. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of man. Because that is the point where God's throne can be established. And that is why it's your spirit where the Holy Spirit resides. So, when we talk about waiting, in definition, what does it mean? That's what helped me. So, waiting is what? When we talk of waiting, what does it mean? Therefore, fellowship with God takes place in your spirit. Hence, waiting on God simply means enter your spirit. Finish. Enter you. It's your spirit that is what? The Holy of Holies. That is what the Holy Spirit is dwelling. That is the point of contact. So when we say we want to make contact with heaven, we don't lift up our head. No. We enter our regenerated spirit, where the Holy Spirit dwells. So when you become conscious of God, that is your spirit at work, then fellowship has what? Begun. Because that is where the Holy Spirit is, which is the representation of heaven in you. But I told you that God can never leave his place of abode until he finds something that is similar to it or is the same to it. The only place God has found comfort to live in comfortably is the spirit of man. That's why the Holy Spirit is in you. That's why we say Christ in what? In you. So if you want to contact heaven, heaven is in you. Somebody didn't understand what I said. I said, if you want to make contact with heaven, heaven is what? In you. So look into you. Enter you. That is it. Therefore, we make contact with heaven, not by looking up, but rather looking inside the spirit. So the moment you exercise your spirit to enter the spirit world, you are in heaven, by which you can make contact with the throne room of God. The moment you exercise your spirit, you have entered heaven. So heaven is not only here; it's here. You carry heaven. You don't. That's why the Bible, they said that the new creation is a very dangerous species. You don't understand. Can you believe that you carry the whole, you carry God, you carry God, and you're walking about. You carry God. Is the Spirit of God not in you? Is it not God? Is it not the representation of God captured in you? You carry God. So that is why you have to learn to access. Come, and the Bible says you come boldly for the throne of God, because there is a key. There's an access point there. When you tune in into that access point, you are able to what? Connect. So, how do we tune in into this access point? Prayer. 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 God willing, next week, as I've said, of late, I want us to keep up to time. God willing, next week, I'll be teaching you how through prayer you can tune in into your spirit, and by that way you can be able to access the throne of grace from the outer court to the holy place, to the holy of holies. If you don't know, that's why I said this is prayer mining. You don't just get up and say, I'm praying. You are praying. You are fellowshiping with God. How is it done? You see, the truth of the matter is that when you enter the place of holy of holies, there are three things you should know. I'm giving it to you. I'll talk about it next week too. First, there is clear instructions from God as to how to live your life every day. Clear. By the time you enter the Holy of Holies, your spirit is so alive to know what God is saying. Not from the Bible, personally. What to do, where to go. Number two, it is the place where covenant is struck. The tablet. Covenant. It's the realm of glory. That is where covenant. That's why we have what you call the sure mercies of David. It's a covenant. David struck the throne room to the point that there's what we call the sure mercies of what? David. When you enter that holy of holy place, that is where you can you see your authority. You see, your confidence to do something. Okay? What we call self-confidence, it is acquired in the holy of holies. There is no man as confident as somebody who has been in the holy of holies, because the rod defines your authority. You know what exactly you can do and you cannot do. When you come out and you are not confident, everything moves you. You are being moved by one or two things, like you are scared of things. What the question is, have you touched the throne room? Because the Bible said, come boldly unto the throne of what? Grace. What happens? You will find grace and do what? Obtain mercy in times of what? Need. What is grace? Everything that Jesus has secured for us, including power, including the anointing. Grace is everything that Jesus has secured for us. The seven dimensions of things that God secured, or Jesus secured for man, two is that the Bible said to him he has received what? Power, glory, riches, blessing, honor. All those seven things, it is what defines what? Grace. When you hit the throne room, you secure them. You find them. That's why when you come from the throne room, when you come down, you're not scared. You have touched something. And you see that mercy is what we talk about, the covering. Mercy covers you. There is a surely goodness. Another definition for grace, he called it what? Goodness. And mercy shall out all the days of life. Why? Because this is a man who has touched the throne room of God. He is daily over there. He's able to access the throne room. It was David who taught us how to even open the gate of the court. It was David how to open the court, the gate of the outer court. So start with praise and thanksgiving. He know how to access the throne room. And then when he came out, he said that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell. The reason why is it when goodness and mercy, do you understand it? The God's goodness, the representation of God's grace follows you. That confidence, self-confidence, it comes when you touch the throne. You are here, do you know what is following you? You are here. Do you know what is following you? Now that's why nobody can just come and threaten you. You see the stories of people like Archbishop Benson Daosa, who can walk to a place that God said we should come and do something over here. And someone said, you'll be sacked. And the person was sacked. Because he knows what was following him. It is at that point when somebody comes and he threatens you and say, hey, now do you understand why when Miriam spoke against Moses, even though Moses was not there, but because of what was following Moses, that what was following Moses was went after them. If you want to be very dangerous, if you want to be a very dangerous person, touch the throne room. Because when you touch the throne room, the things that comes after you, the things that follow you, you don't even need to be at the place. When people mention your name, they'll face it. Don't be a transactional Christian who always know how to do business with God. Always be somebody who is a relational Christian, seeking relationships. Out of that relationship, out of that fellowship, comes the God confidence. So Paul didn't just say, I can do all things. He didn't boast, but he knows what he was talking about. If we learn to mind prayer in its fullness, in a place of waiting. So the last scripture, a second scripture I read, I want to conclude that. The Bible said, they that wait upon their Lord shall do what? Shall renew strength. Give me that scripture. And they shall mount out wings like what? Eagles. Watch it. If you are a practitioner of waiting, if you understand how to access the throne room of God, and you do it on daily basis, you have daily appointment. Listen to what the Bible says about you. He doesn't know what we are talking about. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The sustainability of the believer throughout their life is dependent on their understanding of waiting. As long as you learn to wait on God, nothing can ever worry you in life. So the Bible said, the young lion shall go hungry, but they that knew thy God, that they that know their God. I pray for you. What race are you running that you are wearing? Oh, the Bible says if you have run with the horsemen, say if you have walked with the footmen and they have worried, how much more the horsemen? We are entering a time where we are going to dealing with horsemen. But if you become like Elijah, who know your God, I see a spirit coming upon you. The Bible says, and the spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he fasted his bed, and he ran and overtook Ahab. It doesn't matter those who have taken the lead. If you're a practitioner of waiting, that spirit is coming upon you. It doesn't matter where you are right now. There is a place where we can tap into a strength that we run and not getting tired. Life is a marathon, but the way to sustain your ability to go is as a result of the grace of God upon you. Though my beginning will be small, but my end shall be greater, because the path of the righteous shine brighter and brighter even unto the day. I declare in the name of Jesus, as you practice waiting on the Lord, may you run and never be weary. May you walk and never faint, because the Lord shall renew your strength. You must mind prayer. Mind prayer. Every day, enter your spirit. The Bible said, he told him to come up hither, and he said, immediately I was in the spirit. Whenever God invites you to come up hither, it means that immediately you are out in the spirit. We are throne room of grace. It is only when we are in the spirit we assess it. So every day we say, come boldly to the throne room of grace. The things, have you learned to enter the spirit? We must learn to enter the Spirit. Then we can be able to come into contact with the throne of grace. Somebody, I want you to go back today, even though I've not told you the procedures, but you just go back today and say that, Lord, I want the opportunity to daily come before your throne room of grace. I don't know, but I want to run and never be weary. This life can weary you. This life can weary you. If you are lucky and you are with us in Accra, you know that life can weary you. Even the traffic alone can weary you. Not even the work, the traffic alone. The situation can weary you. But the Bible said that those that wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. Even though they will run like any other person, even though we will all be set on the same race of life, others will fall off, others will fall off, others will fall off, others will fall off in their marriage, others will fall off in their business, others will fall off in their education. But the Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord, they will run and never be weary. I declare in the name of Jesus, oh, this year we are running her. In this life, we will run and never be weary in the name of Jesus. The Bible said they will walk her and they will never faint her. As many are fainting her, as others are saying there's a casting down her, we are saying there's a lifting up her. Oh, down mountain before Zerubbabel, that says the word of the Lord, you shall become a plain land, because strength is from above. Strength is from above. The strength of God.
Rise to your feet.
We must learn to wait. We must learn to service that relationship, fellowship. And this way we can do that fellowship is that when we enter the Spirit. I said, you are the tabernacle. You are the tabernacle. Can you lift up your voice and begin to pray in the Spirit? Hey, this year, oh, what is killing people will not kill us. You run and not be weary. Life, that is, what's it? Let us therefore run the race set before us. There are many races that have been set before us. And he said, let us therefore run the race set before us. You run your race and you will never be weary, because strength is coming. Strength is coming. You will learn to wait on the Lord. You have to learn to wait on the Lord. Oh, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Kelebren no mo ko shete kepala bahaya. Kupala dino mo sende kete. Ivele don dabra sunta kapa. Irababo shanda kapapa. Ayanda bebobo radina no mo shaya. In palakunde vele mesataka. Hey, man, no more shadna paya. I can never be a transactional Christian alone. I will also be a relational Christian. I will learn to build relationship with God. Day by day, early in the morning, I will rise up and fellowship with my maker. And by so, I will come before the throne room of grace. I will find grace and obtain mercy. And in the times of need, I will be at the mercies of God, by his grace and by his mercies. And therefore, when I run, I will not be weary. And when I walk, I will never faint.
In the name of Jesus. See, anything that is worrying you, anything that is making you to faint, it is happening because you have not learned to draw strength against it. And the way you can draw strength against it is that you learn to wait. And that waiting is the daily appointment you set aside to meet God in the place of his throne room. When you go back today, I want you to see, this is why I said everything you have learned about prayer is resting on this sub-series. Because when you learn to mind prayer as a text, you know that prayer is a good thing. You will pray always. When Jesus said, pray always. Men ought to pray, not to faint, you understand. When the Bible says, we should always pray, you understand. Because this is how. It is waiting that plans your day. You don't plan your day with waitings. The waitings plans your day. I pray for you. I said, this year, strength will be released for you. From now, you will walk in the strength of the Lord. You will run your race and you will not be weary. You will walk the path of the Lord and you will never faint. Oh, on the path of righteousness you will walk, and you will never faint in the name of Jesus. All you need to do is to learn to wait on the Lord, and you will see the goodness of God. Can you lift up your voice and thank God this morning? Oh Father, we thank you.
Just breathe the name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Lord.